This podcast is proudly supported by iLevel. iLevel's new innovative interactive video platform allows you to showcase your business knowledge. To learn more and view AmCham's interactive video, visit ilevelstudio.com.au/platform.
Hi, this is Duff Watkins, host of the AmCham Business Podcast. You're about to listen to another exciting podcast where we talk to CEOs and politicians and people who are of interest in the world. But you know, you can actually download these in your sleep. That's right. You can subscribe to them through iTunes and a host of applications. So do your brain a favor. Make it easier on yourself. Subscribe to the AmCham Business Podcast. AmCham, bringing business to you.
Welcome to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia, where you find out how business really works. AmCham podcasts are hosted by Dr. Duff Watkins. Duff is a director of Exec Search International, an author, and is also on the AmCham Council of Governors. AmCham, bringing business to you.
Hello and welcome to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce, How Business Really Works. The world is your oyster. You've heard it, you've said it. But if you're a business, is it true? Well, today we discuss how to make the world your oyster if you're in business. Today you'll hear why having a good concept, idea, product, service, even a good business, it's not enough. You'll learn why the secret to expanding your business overseas is preparation. And you'll discover that though each and every market is unique, it doesn't have to stop you from entering those markets and making the world your oyster. My name is Duff Watkins. I'm your host on the AmCham Business Podcast. And today, our guest is Bruno Mascort from Altios International. Let me just explain Altios International. You may not have heard of them, but they're in 15 countries. Well, actually, they operate across 80 countries. And they provide assistance to companies wishing to expand their business overseas. And they've been doing this for 25 years. They've helped over 3,500 companies implement and increase their sales revenues in those markets. Bruno is a friend of AmCham. He's also a dual nationality of both France and Australia. So welcome to the show, Bruno, or should I say bonjour.
Oh, thank you, Duff. Bonjour.
My first question, Bruno, is I know you studied engineering in France. How did you get into this business of helping companies expand into foreign markets?
Thank you, Duff. I mean, this is a long process. I graduated in food processing and agribusiness as an engineer trained in France. And I traveled around the world, did a gap year. I wanted to discover the world. And when I arrived in Australia, I believed there was some good opportunities to bring some technology from Europe and help the Australian farmers and the Australian food industry to grow their business. And it's how we started this business between France and Australia to bring agribusiness and agri-expertise. We recruited some cheesemakers to go to King Island. We imported cheese equipment. So that's how the business started, and we still have a very strong background in the food and the agribusiness in Altios, especially with our worldwide partner called Crédit Agricole, the Farmer Banks. It's a very strong partnership as well.
Let's get to it. Let's say I'm a business. I want to expand my business overseas. The first question, how do I decide which country to enter? It's a big old world out there, as we know. So that's my first question. Can you help me decide which country I should enter?
Yes, we will. But first of all, we have to ask you a number of questions. We have to understand your business model. We have to understand your strength. We have to understand your long-term plan. We have to understand your financial capability. And really, at the end of the day, who will be your end consumers? If it's a B2C, if it's a B2B, and how savvy you are in internationalizing your company already, if you have already an expertise. If not, then we need to crawl before walking. So it's very important to understand every step of your strategy and your strength prior to give you the right advice. I mean, if you're an Australian company, you haven't exported anywhere, we will say, why don't we look first at New Zealand? You know, it's quite easy. There is a free trade agreement between Australia and New Zealand to understand your capability to adapt to a new country. And then maybe to step in into Singapore, into Hong Kong, then we can piggyback about the with the Australian expat community that are very strong in these countries. And then later on, see with your services and your product, what will be the 3 to 5 years deployment plan.
So you start with me as the customer, I guess, what it is that I'm trying to achieve. Okay, so then, and then we, based on that, we select a country. And there will be some sort of cultural gap between, let's say, my country and the foreign market that I'm entering. Let's just say, for example, China, or it could be a country in Latin America. Then what?
Then we'll come and we were going to spend at least a full day with you to get a full scope of what you want to achieve in this country and work out the range of possibilities you will consider, which could be either to find a partner locally and deal with this partner as your sole distributors or agent in the selected country, or you will consider having some sort of resources on the ground that we can select for you, or eventually to set up your business, because we will be able to prove to you that the business is worth investing into this country.
Do you do any research into trade agreements, either existing trade agreements or new upcoming trade agreements?
Oh, that is very important. And this is just prior to sending your project to our partners or our subsidiaries in these countries. Obviously, there is regulatory issues that we will need to overcome, but all of that will be prior to working with you in this country. We will, through our local office, at no cost, obviously, validate that there is no barrier, trade barrier or regulation barrier for you to work into this country. Otherwise, there is no business and there is no way to take you over there and work for you for a number of weeks or a number of months, and at the end of the day say that you cannot trade with this country. So that's quite important.
But will you help me define the market in this new country?
We will. We always say we don't have a magic wand, but we've got a magic process. Our magic process is to put our sleeves up, go to the market, talk to the end users, to the end consumers, to be able to backtrack the distribution channels that we would recommend you to use. And the best distribution channel based on your value proposal, on your prices, and your capability to handle these distribution channels. We would as well, I know Walmart used this extensively in expanding their business to what it is today, we will benchmark your competitors. And I think it's very, very important to see how your competitors, if any, but usually we always have competitors, are behaving in this market, and maybe try to be a bit smarter than your competitors from day one, because you've got a white page. So you're entering into this market. We will look at the distributions, we look at your competitors, and then come back with a solution. But this solution will be proposed to you. You will be the end decision maker, because we always say, we'll be your legs, you'll be the brain. Mm-hmm. And that's very important to our concept, where we'll provide you the toolbox, we know how to get you there, but at the end of the day, you will have to make the call through a business trip.
Already I can see that you focus on fit very much. If I, just because I want to expand overseas, there's no guarantee of success. So it sounds like you have a process to make sure to optimize my chances of overseas expansion.
We do, and then by doing that, you will have an after-sales service as well. If plan A does not work, then our team will be able to keep working for you and adapt the plan B or the plan C. If for whatever reason the distribution channel you've chosen after 6 months might not have delivered your expectation, we will still be able to backtrack and reshape your distribution in this country. Okay. I mean, we've been established in the UN since 1998. We've been in China since 1999. So most of our offices have been established for 15, 20 years. So we've got a very strong team on the ground with the local knowledge and expertise.
So I've decided to expand overseas. I've worked with you. We've selected a country. And let's make it a big country, China or US or Brazil, something that's big and difficult. And because it's big and difficult, where do I start? I understand you have a diagnostic process.
Yes, and that's what we mentioned earlier on, where we really work with you in scoping your wish list and working with our local team to validate that we can deliver what you're expecting. We will obviously, if it's a consumer product, concentrate, if it's in China, in the three main cities, in Guangzhou, Shanghai, and Beijing. If it's some B2B services, it might be in the second tier country that you might have more potential that are still investing heavily in infrastructure and in other product as well. So there is no set rule. I mean, if you want to go and set up a plant in China, we will need to decide if you want to be closer to the supply for your plant or closer to the market. I mean, in some example, we work for a cordial companies out of Europe, and we decided to go in the south, close to the sugar cane, more than to the market, which was Shanghai and Beijing. So it's really, there is no magic solution once again. It's really a matter of assessing where you'd be best presented.
So it sounds like the diagnostic process is to validate my preconceptions or misconceptions about this new foreign market.
Indeed, and our strength as well is, as we've been acting in China for almost 20 years, we would in one shape or form have worked for a similar industry in the past. So we can fast track this process with our network and our Guangxi. In China, it's very, very important. You know, it's very hard to get a database in China. It's mm-hmm. very hard to get an email in China. I mean, often their numbers, you know, so it's not, you know, your company. This is very, very tricky. And that's what we're good at. And we've got a very strong team in China.
So I've selected my country. I've gone through the diagnostic process. You've validated my conceptions, and I think I have a pretty good idea of what I'm getting into. So can you walk me through it? What are the key steps that are going to happen, and in what sequence?
The key step, based on the formula you will request, would be for you to go to this country. It's essential. Go and validate what our feelings have been by meeting some distributors prior to your visit, meeting some professional people, meeting some clients, for you to validate what we've seen as a business opportunity. And then to meet maybe other service providers, such as a lawyer, such as an accountant, that will help you and guide you in getting it right from the start, and not only trying to do some business matching and business opportunities. You really need to put the work into it and the planning into it. Mm. It's essential.
And we'll take a brief pause here for a commercial.
Ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes at the world's most powerful defense companies and U.S. government agencies? From October 15th to 20th, find out by becoming a delegate to AmCham's Defense and Aerospace Mission to the U.S. To learn more about the mission, visit amcham.com.au.
I'm listening to you intensely, Bruno. The trouble is, my feet have now gotten cold. You're freaking me out. This sounds way, way too hard, way too complex for my little business. I'm just making this up. But are there other ways of entering a new market that are perhaps less formal and less complex?
Oh, there is, but then don't go to China. I mean, start in Hong Kong first, and then Hong Kong is a stepping stone into China. And I hear you, and it's where, you know, it's great that we can talk and discuss this, because if you go to Hong Kong, you will have far less trade barrier. I mean, look at the success of health companies and cosmetic company. They're entering Hong Kong, and then they can get access to China through the great channels. So it's another approach. It's another strategy as well that we can customize for you according to our discussions and our exchange. And yes, you know, in that case, just benchmark Hong Kong. It will cost you far less money, not just about you know, our fees, but in approaching this market. And then you will get a feeling about then when you'll be ready to step into China 6 to 12 months later. But what you need as well is just to realize that every country has a trade organization that will be able to support you as well in terms of financing this, in terms of giving you some feedback. Here in Australia, we are with the American Chamber of Commerce. They will be able to help Australian companies to understand America better. So it's not just about Altios, it's about trying to get as much expertise around your project and knowledge around your project, which was available in your country. And your trade organizations and government might be able to finance part of this work through grant, through working capitals. There is a lot of support we will bring into the discussion, into the assessment, which is not just Altios.
Well, and that's the name of the game, because if I expand overseas to this big, new, complex market, I don't want to fail. It's a big investment. It's very expensive. So I want to expand into this new market. I want to establish a durable business. I want my business to be sustainable. And are there secrets or keys to doing that?
First of all, you and I have the same DNA. We are entrepreneurs. We've got Altios, we've got 190 staff spread over all around the world. We grow by 15 to 20% every year. So we have exactly the same target as you have. I mean, this year we're opening two new offices, one in Spain, thanks to a strong partnership with a local bank, and one in Dubai to catch the Middle East growth, and especially Iran. So we're doing what we're trying to advise you to do as well. So we've got the same DNA and the same targets. So we fully understand your issues and your concern. And that's how we will be able to give you the best approach in selecting the short-term market, the medium-term market, the long-term market. As an example, I mean, if you target India, we're always saying in India, if you don't have any patience, you will learn to get some. And if you do have some, you will learn how to lose it. And it's very true. But eventually, you cannot bypass India into your international strategy. And India, our Indian business, is doing extremely well. Because, I mean, we've got very good people over there. We're even trying to consider offshoring all our accounting, or part of our accounting, across all our offices around the world into our Indian office. So there is ways as well to optimize the use of every opportunity in every country. It's a matter of sequences.
Yeah, you mentioned examples. That reminds me, can you give me, you can name names if you're able to, can you give me an example of an outstanding success that you've had with any company anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, one of my very old clients is providing temporary facilities for big events. I went to approach them in 1997. They were in Europe, saying, why don't you come and bid for the Olympic Games in Sydney? And at the time, the company was doing about 100 million euros and 5 million euros on the international market, and they thought I was joking. And at the end of the day, they won a $25 million contract for the Olympic Games, and we're the official provider of all the temporary facilities. Since then, we just signed a major contract with the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast recently that will be delivered in the next 12 months. And these clients, I took them to Salt Lake City for the Winter Games. I took them to Japan and Korea for the World Cup of Soccer. I took them to Athens for the Olympic Games. So the company today is doing about 1 billion euros. Within 20 years, they grew by 10 times. And 60% of that is on the international market.
So they leveraged off their expansion into a foreign market, first of all, by doing it right. And then when you learn to do it right, you learn to do it right again, presumably.
Very much so. Very much so. Then there is the other example of a Brisbane-based company. They've got a very successful franchise here. They wanted us to take them to the U.S., and they thought, let's go to Texas, because Texas is very similar to Australia. It's not that cold.
That's funny. I'm going to laugh aloud at that one, Texas being similar to Australia. No,
I mean,
it's not.
their business is waterproofing. You know, they didn't want to have issue about frost, about cold weather. So we took them to Texas, and we realized that the services in the local market were more low end of the market and very competitive. So they were a bit disappointed by this assessment. But on the other hand, we identified a very interesting complementary franchise from the US that they're now growing into Australia. You know, so an opportunity can be transformed into something different to what you were aiming for initially.
Well, we were joking off air about, I've seen it firsthand in Brazil, in Australia, in the US, in China. Companies will enter a foreign market and they're ignorant. They don't have knowledge, and that's understandable, but sometimes they're just plain naive. I'm wondering, what are the common mistakes that you've seen companies make? And I'm sure you've seen many more than I have. What are the common mistakes companies make that our listeners can avoid if they expand overseas?
The biggest mistake is not to listen. And really assuming that wherever they go, it's like it is in their own country. I mean, a typical example is people coming to Australia from the US or from England. They will think, okay, they speak the same language, we're very similar, but we're not. You know, there's a lot of difference between US, UK, and Australia. I mean, UK is very competitive and very low margin type of business because they've got a different scale. In Australia, they want to build a relationship, a long-term relationship, and low margin is not as important as it would be in the UK. They want to have a trustful relationship and not to swap from one supplier to the other because it's quite difficult for them to find new suppliers and they're quite isolated. And there is not that big offer in the local market. And it's just between, you know, three developed countries. So when you go to China, I mean, we always talk about the three cup of tea. You know, you need first to meet the people, then be friends with the people, and then at the third cup of tea, you will be able to talk business. But if you want to start to talk business on the first cup of tea, you won't be able to do any business whatsoever in China. But then you go to America, then, you know, you don't need to have a cup of tea, you don't need to have a beer, it's straight into business,
yes.
You know, and that's where we come from. And every country will be totally different.
I always say the same thing in a different way. They speak English in Australia, the US, the UK, New Zealand, Singapore, India, but let me tell you, they all see the world very, very differently, even though they may speak the same language.
And you hear, and sorry for the US market, but more horror story into the US where you've been burnt than you do in China with all of our clients. And it's very surprising. A number of our clients went to manufacture under license in the US, and within 2 to 3 years, their US partners decided to go directly to the market and they had to fight them back, work on the patent rights, and it's very expensive when you go down to the legal path in the US. Where in China, I mean, you will find a manufacturer, all they want to do is to manufacture and make money out of manufacturing. They won't try to bypass you and distribute and sell your product. So that's what we know and we can share with our clients, where what seems to be obvious to them might not be obvious.
And I can confirm that. I've talked with an Australian lawyer who represented one of the largest Chinese companies, and he said he'd had far more Chinese company gouged and fleeced in Australia than he'd had Australian companies gouged and fleeced in China. And I was astonished by that, Bruno, only because I had never even contemplated that. But of course, I don't know how accurate he was speaking, but you're saying the same thing. It isn't a one-way street. It's when you enter a foreign market, it's a foreign market, and you need to do your due diligence and road test some of your assumptions.
Another important point as well from what we've been discussing since the beginning of this podcast is if you don't feel it, it's always important to stick to your first impression, especially if it's a bad one. So if you don't really feel that the market is ready or suited for you because of marketing issues, because of cost issue, because of technical issues, just stop, regroup, and come back 6 months, 12 months, 2, 3 years later. Don't keep trying to invest if you don't see the end result.
Take the time to get it right.
Very important. I mean, the world is so big. There is opportunities everywhere. You just need to optimize where you want to go into a time frame.
There are many, many open doors.
Very much so.
Off air, we were discussing something that's important, so I want to give you a chance to brag about your home country. Bruno, I know that you are appointed a special advisor to the French Foreign Board, and can you describe that to our listeners? Because I thought that was just a very interesting concept, which as far as we know, only France has it.
That's true. Yeah, it's very specific.
And you're one of the elite that has been appointed to this position.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's only 4,000 of us around the world. We are nominated by the French prime ministers through the advice of the local ambassadors and the trade council for our expertise in specific market. I mean, in Australia alone, there is 34 of us. and we meet every 5 or 6 weeks. There is people in the construction industry, into the banking industry, into the tourism industry, into the consumer industry, and we basically share with the French Trade Council and often the ambassador as well our local markets and where we believe that the relationship between France and Australia can improve and can be supported. We organize some conferences, we organize some coaching, we organize some get-together with new companies coming to Australia, an Australian company wanted to go to France to improve the trade on an official way.
So France has tapped the commercial and trade expertise of its citizens abroad and uses it as a resource.
That's right. And we meet once a year. 2 years ago was in Miami, last year was in Deauville, and this year we'll be in Bali with experts from all over the world, part of this network.
To that, all I can say, Bruno, is vive la France.
Merci.
Bruno, what's the final takeaway point you would like to leave with our listeners?
You're not on your own, and use the expert advice. That's, you know, and even if it's not altruist, but use the expert advice. Go and talk to your local chamber of commerce. If you're targeting a specific country, go and see the local trade commission there. Go and look with the Chamber of Commerce that could be locally. Talk to your accountant, talk to your lawyers on tax issues, on legal issues. Get ready, and I will say three words, plan. That's the most important to me.
And we'll finish on that note. You've been listening to the AmCham Business Podcast. We wanted to know about how to expand at the foreign market, so we called Bruno Mascard at Altios International. So should you. We value your opinion. If you're listening to us through iTunes, you can easily hit the subscribe button, leave a review, make a comment. All of it, you're very appreciated. We want to know what you want to know. What are the topics, the people, the issues that are of interest to you? Just email us, podcast@amcham.com.au. In fact, you can find all the podcasts on the website, amcham.com.au. This is AmCham, bringing business to you. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. This podcast is proudly supported by Twitter Australia. Twitter connects everyone to what's happening in the world right now, from breaking news and entertainment to sports and other everyday topics. See what's happening in the world live as it unfolds. AmCham, bringing business to you.